You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, how are you today?
I am doing good. How are you?
Oh, man. It's like almost Thanksgiving, and it's like 80 degrees in Southern California. It is wonderful today. Sunny and bright. And after this recording, I've got a mentoring meeting out in a park in Tustin that's going to be beautiful. And you know, our friend Mindy, she used to always say that Orange County is like perfect Orange County. And I used to always think, why does she always say that? And now being out here, it's like, this is beautiful. So I'm doing well.
Well, good. Yeah, I know. It's fun. We are like kind of hitting the holiday season, which is fun. And so, okay, I was hoping we could really quickly play a like associations game, just real quick.
Okay.
So, okay, let's imagine that it's 1993.
Okay.
At 5 a.m. on a morning in mid-December, and it's time for our family to start the annual Christmas drive from Fort Worth to Shelby, North Carolina. So what are three things that you're packing?
Three things that I'm packing.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, well, I'll give you a second to think. Okay.
Okay.
For sure, rolled gold pretzels. Those were always a staple of those drives. Definitely a CD with Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, because 10-year-old Laura thought that song was hilarious. And a Cracker Barrel gift card, because we always had to stop at least once. So those are three of my memories. What about you?
You got the easy ones. Yes. So yes, these every Christmas we would drive from Fort Worth North Carolina to be with my parents and Janet's parents and Laura's grandparents. And those were some more drives. I think my favorite story from one of those trips was the time that Gary bit one of you guys. And I'm like in that stern dad voice, son, you know, you're not supposed to bite your sister. And he says immediately back to me, I didn't bite her. I hugged her with my teeth.
He would have made a great attorney.
I thought, that boy is quick. Okay, so okay. Associations that come to my mind. One is just Janet was masterful at how she would do those trips, and she would plan kind of every hour there to be a surprise for you kids.
Totally.
And you know, it's kind of small stuff a lot of times, but one is just Janet's planning and how much thought and delight she gave into that.
Totally.
I think another one, along with Grandma Got Ran Over by the Reindeer, I'm thinking of, we would listen to kind of old style, I guess, 90s Christmas music.
Uh-huh.
That was fun. And then we would listen to Roy Rogers and Dale Evans sing
yes,
Happy Trails to You. And then Willie Nelson singing On the Road Again. So
yes.
I remember those. And I remember that station wagon and the seat that faced the back of the car.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times that was the seat we used to separate the most unruly kid. So the worst kid
I never
kid
knew
got the
till now.
Yes.
Hey, I was in the back seat a lot.
That's right. Well,
okay. All right.
Those are what my mind. And then just how good it was to get there.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
You know, we were so loved by our parents and your grandparents. And that was a lot of fun. That was a lot
yeah,
of fun.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing, Laura. This is the last podcast that we will record for this calendar year for 2021.
Wow.
And it's supposed to be released. This one will be on December 1st. So we're going to do kind of a looking back and looking ahead theme for today. What we're looking back on from this last year and what we're looking ahead to. So I thought it'd be good if we both just shared along these ideas.
Okay.
One of our best memories of 2021, one of our biggest surprises of 2021, and something that concerns us as the year is wrapping up. So best memory, biggest surprise, one of them, and something that concerns us. So Laura, do you want to go first with those?
Okay, sure, I can. Yeah, these are really interesting questions. Okay, well, one great memory from this year is the day that Adam and I dropped our kids off at you guys' house and drove to Target to get baby clothes and then went to pick up our precious first foster baby. I think that was just such a joyful day and just meaningful for Adam and I as a couple and just an awesome adventure for our family. And it was really fun to do that with you guys as part of it. So that was definitely a highlight day for me. Yeah.
Yes.
And then I think another highlight that is in some ways a surprise, so this is my answer to the second question, is having dinner with my family over at your house in Orange County. Because 5 years, 5 years ago, it was hard to even imagine that, you know, like you and mom's lives had changed so much in the 20 years since I left home, and my life had too. And it was like super exciting to start thinking about you guys moving out here, but it was almost just impossible to imagine how we would kind of fit into each other's daily lives again. But it's been such a huge gift and a joy to me and my whole family. So that is, a great surprise from this year. And then, you know, with this last one, like something that I feel concerned about. So honestly, I'm not sure how much, I feel like my concern's kind of a heavy one, and I'm not sure how much my concern will resonate with the target demographic for this podcast, so we can just kind of briefly discuss it and then move on. But my biggest concern for 2022 is related to some of what I've been learning this year about pornography and how easily accessible it is for anyone, even like, you know, a kid looking for coloring sheets or trying to work on something for a school project. And, you know, because there's not any age verification, kids can just so easily be automatically directed to a hardcore video. And there's just a lot of devastating consequences for that. So as I've been talking with some of my friends who are working with college students or middle school and high school students, they're seeing major ramifications in the lives of young people. And I think porn is shaping this next generation more pervasively than in past generations, with just lots of addiction and just really confused and twisted views of what sex is supposed to be like. So, you know this. Our oldest daughter is turning 9 this year. And so I think, just kind of my biggest concern going into 22 is for Adam and I, as we're thinking through how to prepare her and our son and, you know, our younger daughter for the world she's kind of entering into.
Absolutely.
So that's mine.
And Laura, don't want to pin you down at all in terms of specific actions you and Adam are going to take. But as you're thinking about that challenge, like what comes to mind? Is it especially around phones and smart devices and computers? Is that where your mind goes to? Or as you're thinking about how do you push back against that coming into your home and with your kids, where are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, I think there's kind of a couple of different things. Like one is, putting off smart devices as long as possible is probably one. But then I think also realizing, okay, like no matter what we do, they're going to encounter this at some point. So I think just trying to think through, like, how do we encourage them to come to us and talk to us, and how do we kind of set them up as much as we can, which I feel like this is something our church is really strong in, of just like kind of casting a vision for having lots of conversation. So I think just starting to have, you know, we're not talking about all of it yet, but starting to have those conversations, and just also I think asking God to help us to really, you know, extend grace to them. So, and you know, not be shaming just in the way we talk about a lot of things, to help build a strong relationship. So I don't know, that's the thought I have. And maybe some other time you can tell me what thoughts you have, but
Well, it sounds like you're trying to deal with it both kind of defensively and offensively. Like defensively, like, you know, how do we kind of combat it?
Mm-hmm.
And then offensively, how do we like protect ourselves?
And, yeah.
And that sounds good. And yeah, it is. It is so so troubling. I, you know, just in my lifetime, I think the shift from pornography being kind of print pornography that you had to go somewhere publicly to get,
yeah,
to, you know, digital and just in every form imaginable and many unimaginable.
Yeah.
It really is difficult. I've thought if I was raising kids in this day, in some ways I feel like I would just have to start all over again, you know, in terms of learning how to do it. And it's not that the principles have changed.
Yeah.
It's just that the battle, you know, mm-hmm. the combat has changed so very much. I appreciate you and Adam being on top of that, because it is just so different and so difficult. And it's good that you've got the friends that you do.
Yeah.
That are kind of co-combatants with you.
Totally. You're definitely right about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is good. And again, appreciate you mentioning the church. So, you know, Laura, as you've been talking about this, just the pervasiveness of pornography and the battle, you know, there's a prayer that was written by Amy Carmichael, who was an amazingly godly woman who went to India to rescue children who were being used as temple cult slaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a prayer that she wrote out in a poem form, and it's this. Father, hear us, we are praying. Hear the words our hearts are saying. We are praying for our children. Keep them from the powers of evil, from the secret hidden peril, from the whirlpool that would suck them, from the treacherous quicksand, pluck them, from the worldling's hollow gladness, from the sting of faithless sadness. Holy Father, save our children.
Hmm.
Through life's troubled waters, steer them. Through life's bitter battle, cheer them. Father, Father, be thou near them. Read the language of our longing. Read the wordless pleadings thronging. Holy Father, for our children. And then I love this last line. And wherever they may bide, lead them home at evening tide. That's just been a prayer that I
Amen.
Prayed for you kids when you were growing up. And honestly, every Sunday, I still pray it for each of you three kids and for our grandkids.
Thanks,
and for
Dad.
Our foster grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just reminds me of how strongly we can pray to God for our children,
mm-hmm.
and how strongly we must pray to God for our children, and that He hears our prayers and that He will act. And in the things that we know nothing about that they're exposed to, or the things that sadly we are aware that they're exposed to,
mm-hmm.
God hears our prayers. So appreciate your concern. I'm concerned with you, and it's good that we've got the God we do to pray to.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, so now it's my turn.
Okay.
So let's see. Best memories? I think it was the day we drove up to our new house in Fountain Valley.
Uh-huh.
And it was ours. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, our dear friend Nick, our contractor, was still getting it ready for us, and it took about a week longer. But Nick did a great job, he and his
mm-hmm.
people, and we moved in on March the 9th, and it has been just a great blessing for us, our home and our neighbors and our neighborhood, and how close we are to you guys and to our church and to beautiful beaches and all that. So I think one of my best memories is just, though it was sad leaving Durham, and we have so many dear friends and a very, very dear church there, that our hearts will always be a part of. It has been a great, great blessing and memory to be here. So
awesome.
That's biggest, I guess, good thing that's happened this year. In terms of surprises, I'm surprised we haven't heard this already, but we learned about 2 months ago that though our home had had a termite inspection and some repairs done, and it was signed off on that it had been done, all had been repaired, we found out about 2 months ago that our house has extensive termite damage. And so the workers are here today doing all the repairs, and they're doing a great job. And I will say the company that had done the original inspection, who had said that it was all done right, when we called them back out, the owner took full responsibility for it all and is doing all of the repairs and the extermination at no cost to us. So awesome. Super blessed by all that. And
yeah.
Listeners, if you hear hammers in the background, that's what's going on. But that's definitely been a surprise.
Yeah.
No new homeowner expects that. But I think the concern I feel, and, you know, we've had a podcast somewhat about this earlier a couple of months ago, but I just have concern for the evangelical church in the U.S. I feel like we are just, it's such a difficult time. You know, right now, an evangelical denomination that is near and dear to my heart, there is one group of leaders and people in the church that believe that most of the seminaries, some number of the seminaries in that denomination, are teaching Marxist ideology and all kinds of things. And a film was released last week accusing people in seminaries of basically becoming Marxist. And yet the leaders of those seminaries, who very much are evangelical leaders in our country, are denying every bit of it. They don't see one instance of it, and they feel like it's just ludicrous accusations. And I use that as an example of the kind of situation that it seems like our churches are in two ways. One, how we come to truth. It seems like we're in a country, and even in our evangelical world, in an evangelical culture, that comes to truth in different ways and are convinced that our truth is truth and someone else's truth is absolutely not truth. And the whole idea of listening, of learning, of trying to come to be of one mind is just not even practiced. It is... it leads to more of showdown kind of mentality that in a lot of ways rips the church apart. And the idea of really trying to come to terms with each other seems to just be not there. And I see pastors that are so discouraged, and pastors that are really just at a loss as to how to lead their church and how to move forward with their church. So, you know, I look at that and I just think this is so sad to see. I had a friend last week send me an article that was just talking about, you know, how 80% of the pastors are just greatly discouraged, and you know, their spouses, their wives wish that they were not even in the ministry. And one statistic at the very bottom of it was how only, I think, 1 out of 10, if I remember that correctly, current pastors will end their career as a pastor.
Wow.
And So, you know, it's just a troubled time for the church. A lot of division, a lot of, in some ways, bringing into the world, into the church, the way that the world deals with things rather than how we should. I have a friend, a pastor in another state who, during this COVID season, has had members leave his church because they think he's a white supremacist, and members who have left his church because they think he's a Marxist. Mm-hmm. And it's just that kind of divisiveness and reaction, you know, reactionary kind of thing. But, you know, there are a couple of passages that really give me hope amid that. And I want to read them to you because they do give me great hope amid the challenges the church is in. One is from Colossians 1, and this is kind of an extended passage, but it's so wonderful and glorious. I'm going to read the whole thing. It's Colossians 1, 9 to 23. It says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Isn't that interesting? In light, kind of in truth that's aware of all, that we're all aware of.
Yeah.
"He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And then it goes into this wonderful passage exalting Jesus that says, "He is the image," that is, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And then verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." And that gives me hope because it exalts Christ, and it tells us that Christ is the head of the church. And it tells us that at the core of Christ's mission of his coming was both reconciliation, reconciling to himself all things, and making peace by the blood of the cross. And that gives me hope that as we as Christians continue to follow him, he'll bring us into the spirit and mindset of reconciliation and peace that he has for us, rather than just the dismissive, contentious division that so often is true. And then one other passage that, again, is a little bit of an extended one, but also gives me hope.
These
are great. Colossians 2, verses 1 through 11. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy," and here it is, "by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." So this is the mind that Christ gives us, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I love that passage because, again, it exalts Jesus. And it tells us the kind of mind that Jesus wants us to have in the church. And that's a mind that's of one mind, of a unified way of thinking. And it's a mind that was both given to us and modeled for us by Christ himself. And so there is great concern in my heart today for the evangelical church in America. But I know that God is not on his throne today wringing his hands over it. I know that he is continuing to work out his will for the church and will continue to do that and to bring Christians to believe him and to know how to come to peace and to agreement with each other rather than just kind of a mindset of burning the house down and dividing up the body of Christ. So kind of a long response there, Laura, but that's the concern and that's the hope I have.
No, those are great. Those are really good passages. And let me ask you something, because you're right. We have talked about similar issues, both like unity and the church in earlier episodes. So I guess the thing that I hear you emphasizing in these passages, and you can tell me if this is right or wrong, like, is the distinction or the thing that you're pointing to today. It's not so much a focus on unity, although that's important, and not so much a focus on how to support our local church and play an integral role there. But what you're talking about right now is, like, the hope that we have for unity is Jesus and, like, keeping Christ at the center. Is that what you're...
Absolutely. I think that it is Christ who will always be the guide for the church. And he will be the guide in our disagreements, in our concerns. He will be our guide in everything in the church. And so we look to him. And he gives us the model of a man who, on the one hand, confronted vehemently the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and yet always in a way that was submissive to God, his Father, and in a way that honored his Father, and in a way where his heart remained open to them, though he was very critical of what he heard and saw in them. And then also just the heart for peace and love he had for those who were just lost sinners who he wanted to bring into the fold. So yes, Laura, that's right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Dad. Well, and I'm interested, okay, so this is like our last episode of 2021. So we've kind of talked about 2021. And let's look ahead to 2022. So what about, like, can you start us off? What's something you're looking forward to in 2022? Or even, you know, maybe related to what you just talked about, something that you hope God changes in 2022?
Yeah. What I'm looking forward to, gosh, in 2022, I know that Janet and I have a couple of trips planned. And so I'm definitely looking forward to those. And then
that'll
we
be
have
fun.
A family trip to Zion National Park, where all of our family will be together in June. So definitely looking forward to that. You know, I'm looking forward to my walk with the Lord continuing to grow and him becoming even more real to me and his word becoming more alive in me. Yeah, I think that. Oh, and we have a wedding coming up in our family in 2022. Our son Will be marrying dear Kara, and so we are certainly looking forward to that.
Definitely.
So those are things I'm looking forward to, and then in terms of things I hope that God changes, I do hope he changes, you know, some of the challenges in the church, in our country. And then I also pray, and yeah, I do pray for those friends and neighbors of mine who are so far from the Lord, that God would change their hearts this next year and open up their hearts to their great need for Christ and for the gospel. So those are a few things I hope change.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing, Dad. And I know we're kind of running to the end of our time, but would you wrap us up with any Christmas hopes that you have for our listeners?
Christmas hopes. Okay, here's what I hope.
Okay.
I hope our listeners have already started listening to Christmas music.
Like that's right.
I start listening to Christmas music around the 1st of November.
Yeah.
And even when I start in the 1st of November, I'm like, I started too late. You
know? So like, what's one song that you would for sure recommend having on your Christmas playlist?
any version, well, most any version of O Holy Night.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Like, I just think that it's not Christmas till somebody sings O Holy Night. And, but just, that is one of my all-time favorites. But yeah, if Christmas music stirs you, then start listening to it. If it doesn't stir you, then you still need to be listening to it, because it is just, it is there for a reason. And, you know, just like, I was just looking at the lyrics to Joy to the World.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing. And then joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Hmm. Let men their songs employ. Mm-hmm. While field and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. And that's just good. Those that exalt the Lord Jesus, mm-hmm. Those are good. So that's one thing I hope for our listeners. I think another thing is what I pray for myself every Christmas is that I won't miss it.
Hmm.
I think in our country, it's just so easy to get so busy, and just, you know, the holiday just takes on kind of a life and world of its own, and we just blow right by, and we miss the coming of Christ.
Hmm.
And so whatever you need to do this month, whether it's an Advent calendar or services at your church, or devotional readings, or just a little bit extra time in the mornings or maybe late at night, where you're just like Mary did, you're just pondering it all in your mm-hmm. heart.
Yeah.
You know, just pray. And I mean, like, with all of your heart, pray that you won't miss the celebration of the coming of Christ this year. I think that's something that I definitely hope for our listeners. And if our listeners are ever of a mind to pray for me, pray that for me this month, that I won't miss Christmas this year. Yeah.
Awesome. Dad, thanks. This has been kind of a fun episode. And one thing I think that stands out to me is, and I was even thinking this might even help me to do what you were just describing of not missing it, but I think I'm going to go back and look at that Philippians 2 passage and just who Jesus was and how, I don't know. As you were reading and I was thinking, I want to go back and read that passage, which one of my favorite Christmas things is sitting in front of the Christmas tree when it's still dark outside.
Yes.
And like the having your quiet time and it's peaceful and there's coffee. So anyways, I'm going to pull up Philippians 2 for one of those. So thanks, Dad, for sharing.
Oh, you bet. And listeners, we appreciate you being with us again today. We do pray that if you're listening this in December of this year, that you will have a blessed Christmas time. We do pray that for you. And we at Leadership Edge are glad to be of service to you as this year ends and the next one begins. Around any interest you have around leadership development and Christian mentoring, you can learn more about our organization at our website, www.lead-edge.com. And God bless you, and hope it's a great Christmas.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dad. And thanks, listeners, for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.